It's 6:20. I'm Justin Martin with a KERA News special report on today's pair of U.S. Supreme Court decisions. It has been a busy session for decisions affecting Texas. Today on Think, SMU Associate Law Professor Jessica Weaver told Lawrence Silverman that it's the political divide between courts hearing the initial cases and the subsequent appeals that's elevating so many Texas lawsuits to the highest court in the country.
At the lower court level, at the district court level, we have more liberal judges, at least in major cities here, and then the Fifth Circuit is conservative, so it creates the opportunity for splits and disagreements.
Today's rulings are echoing across North Texas. In a moment, we'll hear from Chris Connolly on the reaction to Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin, the college admissions affirmative action case. First, Stella Chavez talks with North Texans on both sides of the immigration debate about the tie vote that blocked President Obama's plan to shield millions of immigrants in the U.S. and Texas from deportation.
Standing outside in Belo Garden Park in downtown Dallas, a group of immigrant advocates said it was disappointed. They chose to hold a press conference across from the federal building to emphasize the contributions immigrants make to the economy. Some of them, like Catalina Acuña, shared their personal stories.
I have lived in the United States since the early 2000s. I'm proud to be a wife and mother of three children who are U.S. citizens.
Acuña came from the Mexican state of Zacatecas. Growing up, her dream was to go to law school and work in government. Economic instability and the inability to find work, however, convinced her and her husband to go north. They decided it was best to stay in the U.S. because of increasing drug cartel violence in Mexico. Now, she wonders if she'll ever have the chance to live here as a legal resident.
Today, we are all heartbroken for the families like mine who have fought for legal status for so many years and who are still in the shadows and still on the margins of society.
Acuña and others emphasize that the fight for immigration reform isn't over. They say they'll hold politicians who don't support immigrants accountable.
In the coming months, we will knock on doors and call on our friends and neighbors to vote for candidates who will help us.
Some North Texans on the other end of the political spectrum say they're disappointed by today's news, too. Jorge Lima is with the Libre Initiative, a national group that connects Hispanics with the idea of limited government.
We are today, both as a community of Hispanics in the U.S., but also as a nation as a whole, nowhere closer to the real immigration reform that we so desperately need.
While his group supports immigration reform, Lima says he and his colleagues disagree with the president's approach. They want undocumented immigrants to come out of the shadows, but think there are better ways than what the Obama administration proposed. He says the president should have worked with bipartisan groups in Congress.
Instead of actually working for something that could be sound, that could be permanent, he decided to achieve political points by going forward with an executive order that at best only helped half of the undocumented population, that at best was only 3 years.
State Representative Rafael Anchia, who spoke at the press conference, urged people to show their disappointment at the polls.
The action we're talking about today is a temporary action, not only legally, but it's temporary until November, until we elect a president who is going to end the tie at the U.S. Supreme Court.
He says breaking that tie will be up to the next Supreme Court justice, and it'll be up to voters to decide who will nominate that justice in the November election. In Dallas, Stella Chavez, KERA News.
And I'm Christopher Connolly in Fort Worth. The nation's highest court has once again upheld a UT Austin policy that uses race as a factor in admissions. Student body vice president Bina Kim says the decision is a victory.
I'm proud to go to a university that believes so strongly in diversity and understanding that the different perspectives that students bring inside and outside of the classroom are such a huge part of our college experiences.
Race is not a factor in admissions for all UT students. Most Texans get in through the top 10% program, which guarantees admissions to top-achieving students from Texas high schools. It's for students that don't meet that threshold that race becomes one of many factors considered in what the school calls a holistic review. Bina Kim says she didn't make the top 10, so she got in through the holistic review process.
I served as senior class president. I was a varsity athlete playing basketball that took up a lot of my time. My parents, I'm a first generation Korean American, so I'm thankful that all those things were considered in my application process, although my grades didn't admit me automatically into the university.
Mubarak Chowdhury is a sophomore economics major and associate editor of the school's Daily Texan newspaper. He's happy the court upheld UT's ability to use race as a factor in admissions, but he wants the school to go further.
Admissions is one thing, making sure we have kids from different backgrounds getting into UT, but the second is also making sure that they stay at UT.
Chowdhury says the school does have some programs to support minority students, but he says the campus itself is not as integrated as it should be.
You'll have like all the black kids hang with each other. You have all the white kids hang with each other. You have the Muslim kids hang with each other. And that's just like the reality of like UT is that we may be more diverse, but we're still like separated.
The last time the Supreme Court heard this case, it ruled that student diversity was a worthy goal for universities. This ruling said the university's use of race in admissions decisions is constitutional. But Horace Cooper from the National Center for Public Policy Research and a UT grad argues that using race in admissions for diversity is not functionally different than the university using race to exclude black students 60 years ago.
I thought in the 21st century we have moved beyond this old non-scientific theory that somehow race was in any way relevant to either the learning experience or the matriculation experience.
Tom Lindsay from the Texas Public Policy Foundation says Texas A&M has a better approach. That school focuses on recruiting high-achieving black and Latino students in the top 10% of their class, but it does not use race in the admissions process. Black and Latino students are now about equally represented at A&M and UT Austin.
To see that those increases in diversity could be accomplished without producing the heartbreak of academic mismatch, I mean, that is a good news story that I think and hope everyone in higher ed will look to and try to emulate.
This case settles a long-fought battle over UT's policy, but it's definitely not the end of the affirmative action debate. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
The Supreme Court is expected to rule Monday on the final Texas case this session. Passed in 2013, House Bill 2 requires physicians performing abortions to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. Clinics must also meet the standards of ambulatory surgical centers. According to the Center for Reproductive Rights, there are 19 clinics in the state of Texas that still perform abortions, down from 41 before the law was passed. If the Supreme Court allows it to stand, only 9 abortion clinics are expected to remain open. Nan Kirkpatrick is executive director of the Texas Equal Access Fund, which helps low-income women pay for abortions. While she's eagerly awaiting Monday's ruling, she says access to abortion in Texas has already suffered.
Damage has already been done, and there's no going back on that. Our only hope is that the Supreme Court will decide to strike down the law, and hopefully we'll get some clinics back in those communities that are hundreds of miles from care.
Kylene Wright, president of the pro-life group Texans for Life, says the restrictions in House Bill 2 make abortions much safer for women.
We fervently hope the court upholds the restrictions that pretty much govern every other medical surgery. The last thing we want is 2 victims of abortion, baby and mom. Women seeking abortion deserve the same high standards of every other surgical patient, and we hope and pray the court agrees.
We'll hear more from both groups after the expected ruling comes down on Monday. Mostly clear skies expected this evening, low around 77. Tomorrow, sunny, high near 95. It's currently 95 degrees in Dallas, 96 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.